This week's Parsha is Parsha's Korach, and we will start with the first two psukim of the Parsha. The Pasuk says, Vayikach Korach ben Itzor, ben Kehos ben Levi, and Korach, the son of Itzor, the son of Kehos, and the son of Levi, took the Doson Vaviram, and Doson Vaviram bnei Eliyav, the sons of Eliyav, the Oim ben Peles bnei Reuven, and the Oim ben Peles, the sons of Reuven. And then it says what happened. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe. They stood in front of Moshe. Vanoshim bnei Israel chamishim mosaim. And people from the children of Israel 250, meaning that upright people from the Jewish people 250. Nesiyei Eda, they were the leaders of the assembly. Kriyei Moed, those summoned for meetings. Anshei Shem, men of renown. Rashi explains Vayikach Korach, that Korach took. Rashi, on his second answer, explains that Korach took the Rosh Sanhedrin if words. In the same way that in Vayikra chapter 8, verse number 2, it's written there, Kach es Aharon, take Aharon. And Rashi explains there that Kach bidvarim, that take him with words and saying that praiseworthy are you that you get to serve in front of Hashem. So too here, Korach convinced the Sanhedrin to join him with words. We'll have to understand what words did Korach use to convince the Sanhedrin, and we'll give an interpretation regards to that. But also, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kof Yud 110a, there analyzes what is written in the Parsha, and there it says, Vayakumu lifnei Moshe, they stood in front of Moshe, Vanoshim ibnei Israel, Chamishim Osaim, with 250 men from the children of Israel. The Gemara there says, Meyuchodim Shabeida, that they were 250 people, the most distinguished of the congregation of Israel. And Rashi here explains, they were the Rosh Sanhedrin, the leaders of Sanhedrin. Then the verse says, Kriye Moyet, those who are summoned at the point in time. The Gemara plays with the words and says, Kriye Moyet, those are the people, Shoyodim L'Aber Shonim, V'likvoya Chadoshim. They are people who know how to intercalate the years and establish the months, meaning they know how to make the calculations of the sun and figure out which month needs to have 30 days, which month needs to have 29 days, and also they know when to add an extra month for other. And also they know how to calculate the stars, and they are very well versed in the system of the stars. The question again is, why is this important for Korach? Why did Korach specifically take people who know how to intercalate months, or know how the secrets of the stars? What will that do? We will give different answers for those questions. Not all answers are going to answer all the questions, and we'll explore different ideas that Korach may have had in mind. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Vav 26a is discussing a portion of history that it happened when the siege of Sanherov came to the city of Yerushalayim, and there the pious Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda, was in the city, and Sanherov, with his army of 185,000 men, demanded that the city surrender or suffer defeat by his powerful army, which already had overrun the neighboring countries and a lot of the towns of Yehuda. Chizkiyahu fortified the city and urged the people to put their trust in Hashem, despite the overwhelming odds, as it's written in Divrei Yomim 2, chapter 32, verses 1 to 8. But in the government of Chizkiyahu, there was another person who actually was opposed to Chizkiyahu's idea, and that person was Shevna. Shevna was a supervisor of King Chizkiyahu's palace, and the Gemara says that whenever Shevna gave a lecture, he always gave it in front of 130,000 students, meaning that he was a great Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar. And Chizkiyahu always, when he gave a lecture in front of 110,000 students, meaning that Shevna always had 20,000 more students than Chizkiyah. When Sanherov came and laid siege of the city, Shevna wrote in a piece of paper and he sent it through an arrow to Sancheirov's camp saying, Shevna v'siyatoi hishlimu, that Shevna and his followers, they were willing to make peace, they're willing to concede and make peace with Sancheirov. Chizkia v'siyato lo yishlimu. And Chizkia and his followers did not want to make peace. Meaning they are still defiant on Sancheirov and they don't want to subjugate themselves to him and they don't want to make peace with him. And the Gemara brings a pasuk where it implies that he sent an arrow to the Sancheirov camp. The Gemara continues and says that Chizkiyahu was afraid that Dilma Chas v'Sholom, not your daughter, the Kodesh Baruch Hu Basaruba. Maybe Hashem is going to follow the majority. Meaning, since Shevna has 130,000 students and I only have 110,000 students, that means that Shevna is the majority and we always have the rule that is supposed to follow the majority. So maybe Hashem is going to follow the majority, and since the majority wants to surrender, then maybe he should also surrender. Maybe Chizkiyahu with his followers should surrender because they should follow the opinion of the majority. Meaning that Chizkiyahu was putting his trust in Hashem. But since Hashem set the rule, Achrei Rabim Lahato, is that you have to follow majority, and the majority you want to surrender, maybe Hashem is going to agree that we should surrender, because Hashem is going to see the majority of the Jewish people want to surrender, and he'll follow the same way. Ba Navi v'Amaloi, came the prophet Yeshaya and told Chizkiyahu what's written in Yeshaya chapter 8, verse number 12, that Loisomru Kesher Lekoil Asher Yoimar Oam Zakesher, do not say a confederacy concerning all of whom the people say it's a confederacy. The Gemara explains what does it mean. The Gemara says, Kesher Shomhu, that Shevna and his followers are a confederacy of wicked men. The Kesher Shom Einu Min HaMinyan. When we follow majority, we don't follow a confederacy of wicked men. Therefore, even though they are the majority, nonetheless, they are wicked men, and you don't have to follow majority in case of a quorum of wicked people. And therefore, you don't have to surrender because Hashem is not going to follow the majority. Rashi explains that Shevna's idea wasn't a holy purpose. Shevna's idea was just self-interest. Shevna thought that if he makes peace with Sancheirov and Chizkiyahu doesn't make peace with Sancheirov, then Shevna was sure that Sancheirov is going to destroy Jerusalem, conquer Jerusalem. Then Shevna hoped that Sancheirov will make him king and kill Chizkiyahu. And that was the whole interest of Shevna. Then therefore he is definitely considered Kesher Shoim, a confederate of wicked people. Therefore they are not to be counted. As a matter of fact, the Gemara continues and says that Shevna went to look for a place to be buried next to kings of David, because he thought that for sure he's going to replace Chizkiyahu. He was so arrogant that he went to look already for a burial place next to the kings of the house of David. And the prophet tells him that he has no business there. As a side note, the Gemara gives the conclusion of the story that Shevna and his followers opened the gate of Jerusalem and they were leaving the gates in order to surrender. And as soon as Shevna walked outside the gate, the angel Gabriel came and closed the gates behind him, which means that Shevna followers were stuck inside the city and Shevna alone was outside the gates. Then the people of Sancheirov come to Shevna and ask, where is the followers that you said? You said that you have 130,000 followers. Where are they? Shevna says that it seems that they changed their mind, because Shevna did not know that the angel Gabriel is the one that closed the door. Then the people of Sancheirov said that if you came alone and the people that you said were your followers are not here, that means you are just making fun of us. Therefore, they took Shevna and they gave him a horrible death. The Marsha is trying to explain what was Chizkiyahu's thinking regarding Shevna and his followers. If Chizkiyahu knew that Shevna is an evil person, then he already knew that evil people are not part of majority. So what was Chizkiyahu's thinking? The Marshal explains that in truth, besides this last thing that Shevna did, Shevna and his followers really were worthy people. They were tzaddikim, righteous people. And literally the translation, Kesher Rishoim, the binding of evil people, it means to say that when you become together with evil people, then this is not considered a majority. Meaning that had Shevna and Chizkiyahu been debating if they should surrender or not surrender, then theoretically Shevna would have won because Shevna had a majority. But Shevna did not act this way. Shevna sent an arrow to Sancheruv and he said that we want to make peace with you. By Shevna sending an arrow to Sancheruv, he automatically became tied to evil people, because Sancheruv's people are definitely evil people since they are idolaters. They are not righteous people, they are evil people. Then even though Shevna and his followers' group were more numerous than Chizkiyahu's group, but once he became tied to evil people, then the whole group is considered a Kesher Reshoim, and because of that, Hashem will not follow the majority, because this group is tied to evil people. Even though the majority of them independently are righteous, but once they become associated with evil people, then we don't count the majority anymore because they are together with evil people. But Chizkiyahu did not know that Shevna had already contacted Sancheruv, that they already became a Kesher Reshoim, a confederation of evil people. Therefore, Chizkiyahu was afraid, as we are going to explain. Or alternatively, the Marshal explains that Shevna and his followers were true righteous people, but they made a mistake that they did not trust in Hashem, that Hashem is going to save them from Sancheruv, and they thought that Sancheruv's God is going to be more powerful, and therefore they wanted to make peace with Sancheruv. So they had machshavas avodah zarah, thoughts of idolatry, and therefore they were considered Kesher Reshoim, a confederation of evil people. And clearly Chizkiyahu did not know what Shevna and his followers had in mind, because Chizkiyahu did not see any bad action of them. But since regarding idolatry, Hashem punishes you for your thought even without action, therefore the prophet came and told Chizkiyahu that you don't have to worry about their majority, because their majority is a Kesher Reshoim, a confederation of evil people, because the prophet knew what they had in mind, and therefore they do not constitute a quorum of majority. But since Chizkiyahu did not know that, meaning Chizkiyahu did not know the thoughts of Shevna and his followers, Chizkiyahu thought that you have to follow majority, and even though Hashem had told him previously that he should stand against Sancheruv, Chizkiyahu thought that Shevna and his followers could change Hashem's mind, in the same way that we see that the Gemara brings down in Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Tes Omed Beis 59b, regarding the Tanur Shel Achinoi, regarding the oven of a coiled serpent. Meaning that there was a question there in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Tes Omed Beis 59b, regarding an oven when it became contaminated, and then they take it apart and put it back together, if it's tome or tar, if it's pure or impure. Rabbi Elezer said the oven it's tar, pure, and the rabbis said the oven it's tome, impure. Rabbi Elezer starts and says that if it is like me, let this carob tree bring a proof. The Gemara says that the carob tree moved out of its way either 100 cubits or 400 cubits. The rabbis told them that you can't bring proofs from a carob tree. Then Rabbi Elezer says, if it is like me, let the spring of water prove. The Gemara says that the spring of water flowed backwards, meaning it wasn't flowing the proper way, it flowed backwards. The rabbi said you can't bring a proof from a spring of water. Then the Gemara says that Rabbi Elezer says, if it is like me, let the walls of the Beis HaMedrash prove. So the walls of the Beis HaMedrash started closing down. Then Rabbi Yeshua screamed at the walls and said that the two rabbis are arguing regarding halacha, regarding the law. What are you meddling in the middle? Why are you interfering? The Gemara says that the walls did not close further in honor of Rabbi Yeshua, and also the walls did not open up to the way they were in honor of Rabbi Elezer, and they are still today half closed and half open. Then, as a final try, Rabbi Elezer says, if it is like me, let them declare from heaven. The Gemara says that right away a heavenly voice said, what are you interfering with Rabbi Elezer, that the halacha is like him in all places? On that, Rabbi Yeshua got on his feet and said, that you already told us in Devarim chapter 30, verse number 12, that Loi Bashomayimi, that Torah is not in heaven anymore. What does it mean that it's not in heaven? The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yeruviah says that once the Torah was given from Sinai, we don't look at heavenly voices anymore, because the Torah writes down clearly in Shemos chapter 23, verse number 2, Achrei Rabim Lahatois, that we should follow majority. Therefore, we don't look anymore what's happening in heaven, and we are required to follow the majority here on earth. The Gemara continues that Rab Nosson found Eliyahu Hanavi, and he asked him, what did Hashem do at that moment? Meaning, when Rabbi Yeshua said, Torah lo b'shamayim, the Torah is not in heaven, what did Hashem do? The Gemara answers that Eliyahu said, Kochaich v'omar, that Hashem is laughing and saying, Nitzchuni bni, nitzchuni bni. My children prevailed over me, my children prevailed over me. Meaning that Hashem agreed with the rabbis that we should follow really the majority and say it's Tomer, even though originally Hashem had said that it's Tor, because Hashem sent the heavenly voice in favor of Rabbi Elezer, which proclaimed that Tor pure. That means that what the rabbis decide here on earth is in a way binding in front of Hashem. Therefore, Chizkiyahu thought that since Shevna and his followers are righteous people, and they are arguing what to do regarding this case, that even though Hashem had told them previously not to surrender to Sancheruv, but he thought, maybe since the majority now says to surrender, that Hashem will follow majority. Until the prophet Yeshayahu tells him that you do not follow majority in this case because they are evil people. According to this, the Satmar Rebbe says in Divrei Yoel that this was Korach's mistake, meaning that Korach believed in the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he really believed that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that Aharon should be the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Then if that is true, why is Korach arguing that he wants to be the high priest? The Divrei Yoel explains that still Korach believed that if he's able to get the majority of the people and the majority of the wise people to go in his side, then he'll able to change Hashem's mind, and Hashem will take away the kahuna from Aharon and give it to Korach, in the same way that Hashem changed his mind, and originally it was by the oven Tor, and because of the majority, he made a Tomer. So too, Korach thought that by having a majority that will declare that Korach is worthy to be the Kohen Gadol, that will force Hashem's hand, and Hashem will agree to remove the kahuna from Aharon and give it to Korach. The Satmar Rebbe gives two reasons why Korach was not successful. The first reason, the Satmar Rebbe said, that had Korach just gotten the elders and just gotten the people who know how to intercalate the months, then Korach probably would have a valid argument. But once Korach got Dothan Vaviram together with him, and Dothan Vaviram are definitely evil people, then Dothan Vaviram became the kesher reshoim to Korach. They became the tie of evil to Korach, and that caused Korach to be unsuccessful. Because Korach by himself, says the Satmar Rebbe, was a very righteous person, and the elders of Sanhedrin were also righteous. But the only problem was that once they got together with Dothan Vaviram, and Dothan Vaviram are notorious bad people, they became kesher reshoim, they became tied to the evil people, And once you are tied to evil people, then even though you're majority, that majority does not count. And therefore, Hashem did not change His mind. The interpretation the Satmar Rebbe says is the whole premise is mistaken. Meaning, the premise that if Korach would have a majority, Korach would have changed Hashem's mind from giving Aharon the kahuna to give him the kahuna in the same way that Hashem changed His mind by the story of Rabbi Eliezer from Tor, from pure to impure, that premise is totally ridiculous, he says. Because when do I follow majority? When does the Torah say, Achrei Rabim Lahatois, that you should follow majority? It is only in case where you have a doubt in the interpretation of certain law, and you have one side saying this way, and the majority saying the other way, then you are follow majority. But when something is clearly written in the Torah, black and white, then even a majority of a million, that would not supersede what is written in the Torah. Therefore, the fact that Hashem told that Aharon should be the Kohen Gadol, that is clearly written in the Torah. Then no matter how big of a majority Korach would able to get, still he could not change that statement that Hashem said that he wants Aharon to be the high priest. By the oven of Achinoi, the story of Rabbi Eliezer, that situation is not clearly written in the Torah, and therefore we have to adapt laws from the Torah to that situation. In that case, we could follow a majority because it's not clearly written. Therefore, no matter how big of a majority Korach would have had, he could never change the statement that Hashem made Aharon the high priest. The Divrei Yoel also wants to explain how is it that Korach was able to convince the 250 Roshei Sanhedrin, the heads of Sanhedrin. After all, they were righteous people. How did he convince them? And also, why did Korach specifically pick certain people that know how to intercalate month and know how to establish Adar, meaning that supposedly know the star systems? Why did he specifically pick them? And that is based on the idea that the Arizal brings down in Shar Gegolim, Soif Agdama Lamet Hei, that there he says that Korach really was a very righteous man. As a matter of fact, he writes down that when the first in Tehillim, chapter 92, verse number 13, where it says, Tzadik Katomar Ifrach, that a righteous man will flourish like a date palm. The Arizal notes that the last letter of Tzadik Katomar Ifrach makes the word Korach, because the Tzadik has the Kof, Katomor has the Reish, Ifrach has the Ches, and that makes the word Korach, which means that Korach will again flourish like a date palm. And Korach in the time of Moshiach was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And the Satmar Rebbe says that in order to accomplish that, Korach has to hasten the time of Moshiach, and he wants to make it that the time of Moshiach, the time of the full redemption, should be now in order for him to become a high priest. And therefore, Korach comes in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and he argues, Ki kalo am kulon kedoshim, that the whole nation is holy, meaning that since the verse in Yisro, chapter 19, verse number 6, says, Va'atem tiuli mamleches kohanim ve'goy kodosh, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That means that it's going to come a time where all the Jews are going to be a kingdom of priests, and that is when Moshiach is going to come. Korach wanted that time be now. To that effect, he went to the Sanhedrin and he convinced the Sanhedrin that Moshiach could come now, that it's up to us to have the Geula, the redemption, come. And even though the Sanhedrin like to follow Moshe Rabbeinu, but if you tell them that the full redemption, the time when Moshiach is going to come, is going to be now, and we could bring this about, then the Sanhedrin decided to join Korach, because this message was too big of a message for them to reject. They wanted to see if it's possible to bring Moshiach. And how did Korach plan to bring Moshiach? The Divrei Yoel says that Korach wanted to use what the Nezer HaKodesh in the end of Vayechi explains. The Nezra Kodesh in the end of Vayechi explains that it's written a contradiction in the verse in Yeshaya, chapter 60, verse number 22. There it says that Ani Hashem, that Am Hashem, Be'ito, I will bring Moshiach in its time, Achisheno, and I will hasten it. And it's known, the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Ches Omedalev 98a, where there the Gemara says, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Rome, Rabbi Shua ben Levi asks a question. Ksif Be'ito, it's written that Moshiach will come in its proper time, which implies that when the time comes, Moshiach will come. Ksif Achisheno, and it's written that Hashem will hasten, which implies that Hashem will make Moshiach come before its time. So the Gemara answers, Zachu, if the Jewish people merit, through repentance and good deeds, Achisheno, Hashem will hasten it. Lo Zachu, but if they don't merit, then Hashem will bring the redemption, Be'ita, in its proper time, meaning at the designated time that he's supposed to come. Sefer Nezer HaKodesh, in the end of Vayechi, is bothered by this answer of the Gemara, because he says that this answer of the Gemara theoretically does not fit the verse. Meaning, the verse says that Am Hashem, Be'ito in its time, Achishano, I will hasten it. The Pasuk does not say Am Hashem, Be'ito, I'll bring Moshiach in its time, Oi, Achishano, or I will hasten it. The Pasuk seems to make a single statement that Moshiach is going to come in its time and I'll hasten it. How is that possible? Is it going to come in its time, or is it going to come when Hashem hastens it? Therefore, Sefer Nezer HaKodesh explains that there is a proper time when Moshiach should come. Meaning, Hashem already created a time where that is the time where the full redemption is going to happen. And at that time, the stars will be aligned a certain way. So what does Hashem do if you merit to have Moshiach come earlier? Meaning, if you behave properly, we do repentance, we serve Hashem, and then we merit to have the redemption earlier. How does Hashem work it? Hashem makes the alignment that was in its proper time and brings that same alignment to an earlier time. Meaning, in the way the stars should have been aligned, if Moshiach would have come in its proper time, now that we merit, Hashem takes that exact same alignment and places it in an earlier time. And that's what it means, Be'ito, in its proper time, meaning the alignment of its proper time, Achisheno, I will hasten it. And this is only one statement, which means Hashem is going to hasten the coming of the Mashiach, because we, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, are going to repent and we are going to do the proper deeds. Therefore, Hashem is going to hasten and place the stars in the proper way that it was originally. According to this, says Divrei Yoel, that this was what Korach wanted to do. Korach took these wise people who know how to intercalate month and who know how to establish the extra month of Adar in order for them to bring the star systems in alignment the same way that's supposed to happen at the time of Mashiach. And therefore, he brought those wise men to try to get them to align the heavens in the proper way. But his mistake was that Hashem only gave the power to the rabbis to align the moon and align the months. Hashem never gave the power to the rabbis to align all the star systems. We have the power to increase the month of Rosh Chodesh and make it another day, but we don't have the power to align the other stars or move the other stars. Therefore, Korach's intention backfired, and because the time of redemption is not given to anybody, only to Hashem, you can't decide to change the time of redemption. And that was Korach's mistake. According to this idea, the Satmar Rebbe explains also an interesting Gemara in Nedarim Dav Lamed Tes Omed Beis 39b. The Gemara there says, Dorash Rove, Rove expounded, V'amr la, Omar Rav Yitzchok, and some say that Rav Yitzchok said, Ma'i dechsif, what is the meaning of the pasuk in Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse number 11, where the verse says, Shemesh yoreach omad zvula, that the sun and the moon stayed in their habitation. But Zevul is also a name of a heaven, as we soon are going to explain. Le'or chitzecho yalechu, by the light of your arrows they will travel. Le'noiga brak chanisecho, because of the glint of your shining spear. The Gemara asks a question, Shemesh ve'yoreach bizvul, my boy, what's the sun and moon doing in Zvul? Meaning that the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis 12b, describes that there are seven heavens, one above the other. And the second heaven is called Rokia. And the Gemara says that the sun, the moon, and the stars are located in the second heaven. Then the Gemara there says that the fourth heaven is Zvul. And in Zvul, in the fourth heaven, there are the heavenly temple, the heavenly altar, and the heavenly Kohen Gadol, which according to the Gemara is the angel Michael. Then the Gemara asks a question, what are the sun and the moon doing in Zvul? The fourth heaven, they are supposed to be in Rokia, in the second heaven, as we mentioned. The Gemara answers that from there you learn that the sun and the moon came up from Rokia, from the second heaven, to Zvul, to the fourth heaven, to protect Moshe Rabbeinu's reputation. Va'amru lefonav, and they said in front of Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, imato oise din leven Amram, if you render justice on behalf of the son of Amram, on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu, on his fight with Korach, if you take his side and prove to everybody that he was right, anu meirim, we are going to continue to light. But v'imlav, if you don't take Moshe Rabbeinu's side, meaning you let Korach do what Korach wants, then einanu meirim, we are not going. The Rashba explains that the argument of the sun of the moon was the following, that since Hashem created the world only because of Torah, as it's written in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peiches Amud Aleph 88a, where the Gemara there says that Hashem put the mountain over our head and said that if we accept the Torah, then we go on living. If not, Shom Teyeko Raschem, there is going to be our burial ground. And Rish Lakish actually explains it in a different way. Rish Lakish says that it's written in Bereshis chapter 1, verse number 31, Vayeref Vayvoker Yom Hashishi, and there was night and there was day, the sixth day. Rish Lakish asks, why is it written Yom Hashishi, the sixth day, where it's not written in the same way in the other days, because there is no hay in the other days. For example, Yom Sheini, it's not written Yom HaSheini. Yom Revi'i, it's not written Yom HaRevi'i. The only one that's written Shishi is on the sixth day. The Gemara answers that Rish Lakish says that the reason it's written the sixth day, because it's not referring only to the sixth day of creation, it's referring to the famous sixth day. Meaning that Hashem made a condition in creation that if the Jewish people accept the Torah in Yom HaShishi, on the famous sixth day of Sivan, then the world will continue. But if the Jewish people do not accept the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan, then Hashem is going to return the world to Tohu Vavohu, to nothingness, because Hashem is going to destroy the world. Which seems to say, clearly, that if the Jewish people do not accept the Torah, or the Torah is not the way that we have, as Korach was arguing that Moshe Rabbeinu is making up the Torah and the Torah is not true, then the world would cease to exist, then the sun and the moon aren't going to shine anymore. Then the sun and the moon are saying that if you do not take the side of Moshe Rabbeinu, then we are not going to light, because there is going to be nothingness, and we are not going to be able to shine anymore. And just as a side note, the Maharsha explains that the reason that the sun and the moon went to Zvul, because as we mentioned, since the Zvul has the heavenly court, has the heavenly altar, and has the Kohen Gadol, and this is what Korach was arguing, because Korach wanted to be the Kohen Gadol, therefore they ended up coming up to Zvul, where the Kohen Gadol in heaven is situated. But the Divra Yoel says that according to what he mentioned, that Korach wanted to have the Olam HaTikun, the time of Geula, meaning that he wanted to hasten and cause the final redemption to come, according to this, the argument of the sun and the moon to Hashem is exactly the opposite that the Rashba said, meaning that the sun and the moon did not come in front of Hashem to complain that if Korach is right, then they will be destroyed, then they don't have to light. The sun and the moon came in front of Hashem and said that if you do justice to Ben Amram, to Moshe Rabbeinu, that means that the world continues the way it is now. Moshiach is not here, there's no redemption. Then we continue to give out the same light as we had every day until now. But if you do not make judgment to Ben Amram, meaning if you believe that Korach is right and the time of redemption has finally come, then the sun and the moon came in front of Hashem to Zvul to ask Hashem that he should give them more light. Because since when Moshiach comes, their light is going to be strengthened, then they can't come out in the world with the same light until now, because since it is the time of the full redemption, then they need to have more light, as the verse in Yeshaya says. And therefore, says the Divrei Yoel, when Moshe Rabbeinu argues with the Bnei Korach in Pasuk number 5, there it says, "Vadaber el Korach v'kol ados eleimor," that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Korach and his whole assembly, saying, "Boiker, in the morning, v'yoida Hashem es asheloi," and Hashem is going to let be known who is His own, "v'esakodosh," and the one who is holy, "v'ikriv elov," and Hashem will bring him near to Him, "v'esasher ifchar boy," and the one Hashem will choose, "yakriv elov," draw close to Him. Rashi is bothered. What does it mean, "boiker v'yoida Hashem es asheloi"? Why in the morning Hashem is going to tell him who is the one to him? Why not now? Rashi explains from the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Gvulos chalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamai," that Hashem made boundaries in His world. "Yecholim atem lapoch boiker l'erev," if you could change day to night, "kein tuchlu levatel lezu," so too you'll be able to change this choice that Aharon should not be the Kohen and you should be the Kohen. And since Korach cannot change day to night, obviously he cannot change the fact that Aharon should be the Kohen. But Divrei Yoel is bothered, why did Moshe Rabbeinu pick such an example? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu pick any other thing that you can change, therefore you can change? What was Moshe Rabbeinu hinting by the fact that Korach cannot change day to night? And then the Divrei Yoel asks that the statement from Rashi seems to be a little ambiguous, because Rashi says, "Yecholim atem lahafoich boiker lo erev," that if you could change day to night, "kach tuchlu levat lezu," so too you'll be able to annul this, that the Aharon should be Kohen Gadol, meaning that if you could change day to night, so you'll be able to change that Aharon should not be Kohen Gadol and you should be Kohen Gadol. It seems to be that Moshe Rabbeinu is in doubt if Korach could do it or not. The proper way that Moshe Rabbeinu should have said is, "Keshem she'ein atem yecholim lahafoch boiker l'erev," in the same way that you cannot change day to night, so too you won't be able to change this decree that Aharon is going to be Kohen. But yet, Moshe Rabbeinu puts it in the positive, as it would be possible for Korach to change this. The Divrei Yoel says that according to what he explained until now, all the pieces fit together very nicely, meaning that since Korach knew that in the future he is destined to be the Kohen Gadol, as the Arizal explains that in the time of Mashiach, Korach was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, then Korach is trying to hasten that time, because he desires so much to be the high priest. He's trying to bring about that time should be now. For that reason, he took with him the 250 heads of the Sanhedrin, those who knew how to intercalate the months, those who knew how to make the months proper. And because he thought that he'll achieve his goal, he's already fighting against Aharon, that Aharon should give up his high priesthood and give this to Korach. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Korach and tells him, Boiker v'yoida Hashem es Asheloi, that in the morning we will see who it is to Hashem. Meaning, that since you are saying that this is a time of redemption, then theoretically you should change the strength of the sun, and you should make from the day night, meaning that the light of the day is going to be so strong that yesterday's sun seems like it was night, because the sun is going to be much stronger at this point. And if in fact it is a time of redemption, then you are able to change that light. And if you can in fact change that light, then you are really entitled to be the high priest. But in the morning we will see if you are able to change that light or not. And since the next morning the light was the same light that it was all the way till now, then obviously whatever you try to do to bring about the redemption did not work. And it's not yet the time of redemption, therefore Aharon HaKohen is the high priest. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu specifically said, Boiker, in the morning, V'yoida Hashem es Asheloi, and Hashem will show what is to him, meaning that in the morning we will see if it's really the redemption or not, and therefore we shouldn't argue now who should be the high priest, because morning will tell everything. If the light of the sun is going to be much stronger, then we know that it is time of the redemption, then really you, Korach, should be the high priest. But if the light of the sun is going to be the same, then clearly what you did not work, and therefore Aharon HaKohen is going to be the high priest. And the reason Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it in the positive, because Moshe Rabbeinu himself was also waiting for redemption. Even though he knew the redemption is not coming yet, and he knew that Aharon is the high priest, but deep down, Moshe Rabbeinu is also waiting for the coming of Mashiach, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that if you could change day to night, then you could also change his decree, because Moshe Rabbeinu is really hopeful that Korach should be successful and it should be the time of redemption. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should see the redemption soon in our days. We should merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.